Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The haunting legends of a mighty Bigfoot have made man's blood run cold for centuries, some terrific and some terrifying. The Southern Appalachian Mountains whisper the mysteries of this strange and powerful creature through its smoky hills and ominous embrace. This is Brandon Thomas with Expanding Reality, elated to announce our very first Expanding Reality Excursions Befriending Bigfoot event. It's going to take place on a beautiful 27-acre ranch in Blairsville, Georgia, May 15th through the 20th. This intimate conference is going to feature Bigfoot adventure hikes in three different states, river kayaking, nightly presentations from such incredible presenters as Alexander Petikoff, Chris Matthew, Dave Zed, Preston Dennett, and many more. Also, we're going to be doing some UFO watching, some jam sessions, all kinds of hangouts. Visit expandingrealitypodcast.com/events for more information. That's expandingrealitypodcast.com/events. We'll see you there.
A choice right now between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
All right, Karen Holton, welcoming to the show. You're amazing. You and I have so much in common. We both have, like, whimsy for the fantastical. We also have an utter disdain for being told what to do, and it's so cool. So I can't wait to introduce you to the audience here. So before we get to this amazing conversation, if you don't mind, in your own words, now all the ways to find you will be located down below, and you provided an amazing amount of links and service offers and organized all kinds of cool stuff. So all of that's going to be found down below. But in your own words, darling, if you don't mind, just let the folks know who you are.
Well, my name is Karen Holton, and I go by my real name, and you can find me on almost all social media platforms. You can either find me at Karen Holton TV, or you can find me on the Forbidden Knowledge Network under the Quantum Guide Show with Karen Holton. And I have two podcasts. One is regular every week. The other one's been a little hit and miss lately. So the one that I do every week is called The Quantum Guide Show. And I just interview fascinating people. And we share what we think and what we're doing with the rest of the world. And my other podcast is called Aliens and Angels. And it's people who've had experiences. So it's experiencers all kinds of experiencers, just talking about our experiences, not research we've done, actual stuff that we've lived. And besides that, I have a website, www.karenholtonhealthcoach.com. That's K-A-R-E-N-H-O-L-T-O-N, healthcoach.com, where I've got tons of free resources. I've got my own unique line of orgone generators, and I sell PDF lessons from my free online course. It's all there. It's a one-stop shop. You can find my videos and everything all there. And hope you come and visit me there and check it all out.
So cool. You're just fantastic. And again, guys, all that's going to be linked down below. Now, you mentioned Forbidden Knowledge News Network. Chris Matthew, dear brother, friend of ours, he's actually speaking at our event in May that we're having here in Blairsville, Georgia. It's going to be amazing. It's a Bigfoot event that we're having. So link down below if you guys want to know more. How did you get connected with Chris and what got you on the Forbidden Knowledge News Network?
Well, I was going through some health challenges and also what I call my awakening process that just seemed to take for years. But as I started checking out alternative ways of viewing the world on YouTube, I found Forbidden Knowledge News, Chris Matthews' podcast. And I started watching his shows and I started just getting excited about all the diversity of thought and ways of being and ways of perceiving. And I just thought it was so fantastic. So I can't remember exactly what happened. I think he asked if anyone was interested in being on his show to drop him an email. So I emailed him and told him that I'm an experiencer. I've had pretty amazing extraterrestrial as well as outstanding angelic experience that just changed my whole life. And he had me on his show. And that's how the whole thing got started. And over time, we became friends. And I've supported his work. He supported mine. He's just an awesome, awesome human being. He's true blue. He's the real deal, you know? And he's very kind. And anyway, so we hit it off, we just became friends. We did a show together for a while. That's about it. And then he offered me a spot in his network and I said gladly and said, yes, please, yes, please. And the rest is history.
It's outstanding. And he had just sent me a message. His new documentary, Cult Louisiana, is out on Tubi for absolutely free. You guys can just go check this out. So in honor of Chris and y'all's relationship and everything, I'm going to go ahead and link that down below as well so that y'all can get a direct link to it. But in the meantime, you can just go check it out after the conversation, of course. Dude, awesome. Absolutely awesome. Love Chris. Love that you two are connected. It makes complete sense. You're so aligned with this and you have had some fascinating experiences, which leads me to my next question. Now, I see in your bio here, ET angelic experiencer, as well as exopolitical ambassador. So I'm curious, what are your experiences? What leads you to the confidence in that nomenclature there? I love it, by the way.
Well, I'm an ET experiencer. My experiences are a little bit different than what most people have. I've never had a spaceship show up and been beamed aboard. I've never had that happen. What happens for me is I'm a very transdimensional person, which I only really found the term for that in the last year. What happens is I go to bed at night and tucked into my bed and off to sleep and whammo, I'm transported into another time, another space, another experience. So it was a 3-month period of time where every single night I was aboard the big ship, learning all kinds of stuff, meeting all kinds of my extraterrestrial brothers and sisters who, by the way, look a lot like us, except they're mostly bigger. And smarter and definitely more grounded and more spiritual than we are. They're kind of like at our next state of development. And they just taught me so, so much. I got a taste of the pre-settlement program, the intergalactic resettlement program, all kinds of stuff. But the funny thing is, at first I thought I was dreaming. Then I realized, no, I'm not dreaming. I'm just crazy. But it happened every single night and it was congruent. But there was a time dilation. So I'd be gone for one of our nights but I might be gone for 2-3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months worth of adventures. And then in the morning, wake up back in my own bed. And it would like, it was very disorienting and a real bummer to come back, by the way. Real bummer to come back. Yeah. But it was completely congruent and consecutive, and it lasted for 3 of our months. But my experiences were more like 3.5 years, and I'm more than halfway finished writing my book about that.
Very cool.
But before that, I had an angelic experience. It was a very dark time in my life. I won't get into it too much because it's a whole show on its own. And I was going to off myself, and I was in a deep state of grieving. And I was contacted by an angelic force. Now, I don't know if it was one angel or a group of angels. They didn't appear as humans. They appeared as points of light with light flashing out the sides that gave them the illusion of wings. And they spoke in one voice, but it was like 1,000 voices in perfect unison spoke to me in one voice. And they basically told me I could off myself if I wanted to. There are exit points. You know, life is never meant to be that horrible. But if I stayed, they'd give me a gift. And I didn't know what I wanted. I had to think about it. I mean, the whole experience was so unbelievable. You know, it took me 2-3 days just shaking my head going, wow, you know, I wasn't all under the influence of anything when I had my angelic or my ET experiences, by the way, not pharmaceuticals, not cannabis, nothing. Anyway, so I thought about it for a few days and I thought about, gee, what do I want? What do I want? What would really help me? And I thought, well, money, a lot of money would help. That'd sure fix a few things. And I went, nope, that's not it. And I thought, well, maybe if I was famous, maybe that would help. And I thought, nope, that's not it. And I thought, well, maybe if I was really beautiful and really athletic and able to do cool stuff, maybe that would work. And I went, nope, that's not it. And then I realized what I needed for my gift. This always makes me cry when I talk about it. Anyway, so, sorry. What I asked for was wisdom. I asked for wisdom. And in my foolishness, I thought they'd just sort of pour it into me and I'd become very wise. No. They just gave me all the experiences I needed, and they were close to me so that I could communicate with them or express myself with them and know that I had their support as I went through all kinds of trials and tribulations and ended up learning a few things and getting the wisdom that I desired so that I could have the life I really wanted. You know, I didn't want to die. I wanted a good life, a productive life, you know, a life full of adventure and interesting stuff and to be a good person and to make a difference. That's what I wanted. And I got it. And that was after that, I had my ET experience. And then around that time is when I was given a download, which I've processed into a free online course called the 9 Steps to Quantum Health Transformation. I'm working on version 3.0 right now. It's coming along really, really well. I've already started producing some podcasts that revealing the content and creating the PDF that people can get from my website with all the lessons. It's all illustrated, and I'm really, really pleased with the outcome. So then that happened, and like I said, it's my third version of it, which is, I'm just so happy with it. I'm working on that right now. So yeah, I'm busy and I'm happy and I have a really cool life and I don't know, I'm grateful. I'm just grateful.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for that. The only part I take umbrage over is the beautiful, non-athletic, and wanted to do cool things. That box was already checked. I think that's why you could just skip right over it, is because you'd already had that covered. Amazing, powerful. And this is one of those dark times, those dark nights, and you had angels show up, which is really cool. I just sort of didn't kill myself, which I guess is the same thing, but you had angels, which is fun, which inspired you to continue on and just go, I mean, no, thank you. Cause you're absolutely right. It's not about ending life. It's about ending the shit life. And really,
yeah,
a lot of times what that is,
that.
Yeah, fuck that. Right. Yeah. Enough. You're right.
But see, with wisdom, I could make better choices. I could learn from my mistakes. You know, I could create what I wanted. I didn't know how before.
Do you still feel limited?
Rarely, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so blessed. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I guess I'm limited in some ways, depending on how you want to look at it. I'm what they call neurodivergent. Yeah. So I'm a bit of a stranger in a strange land. I'm kind of a recluse. I'm passionate for my two cats, and I love my grown offspring. But, you know, I don't infringe on their life. I let them do them, and I do me. And it works really well for us. And but I don't have a life that's like everybody else's, but I'm so happy with what I have.
Yeah. It's just that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. And I'm getting old. I just turned 68. But you know what? I figure I got at least 20 good years ahead of me. You can do a lot in 20 years, Brandon.
You know, maybe the matrix just rips open and this physical body is shed and there's no such thing as death in our experience of this time frame. And we just sort of queef out of existence in a very easy way that we don't see it as any sort of aging. You know, maybe that's potentiality in this reality. What do you think?
Well, there's that too. But I really, really like the feel of the warm breeze in the summertime flowing between my toes. And I love the flowers and I love the little critters and I love watching people do well. And I just love so much about being here on Earth in a physical body, you know, that I'm okay being here for a little longer. But if I had to go, I'm okay with that too, because it's all good. It's just all good.
What do you think happens after this? Do you think that you're able to create another Earth like this just without cancer and lizard turds and fleas and stuff like that? And like where you can fly and, you know, where you can really have fun?
I've been shown what it's like. It's really cool. It's a lot like our life here, but it doesn't have all the lizard turds and all that crap.
That'd be cool.
And things are a little bit different. Like here, you know, the plants absorb nutrients from the soil and from the sun and they grow. Well, in the next life, everything is more energetic. So there's still plants, but they don't need minerals. We don't need to eat. We can if we want to, but everything is much more energetic and fluid and more magical. And more beautiful because we actually have a broader spectrum. The color spectrum is much broader than what we experienced in three-dimensional. It's really quite lovely.
Do you think that this place fuels that place with energy?
I think it's all connected, Brandon. I think it's all connected. I think that the 3D is, I think that like the fourth or fifth dimension is more complex, but we're tied to it. It's all interdependent. Every level, every dimension is tied to each other. So it's all important. It's all important work that we're doing.
It's interesting because it's sort of like this. I mean, as you were talking about it here, and you know, you've had me on your show several times. I'm going to be linking again the ways to find you guys. She's doing an amazing panel series over there. Frank Castle, Elsa Dillon's joined these, Chris Matthew, a couple other folks. This has been amazing, by the way. And so thank you. But we talked a lot about sort of an energetic matrix and this dark night of the soul and coming through that. But even at a level, could you say, even without dispassionately, perhaps, that this is a sort of swap of energies, meaning that we get the opportunity to grow and learn, but it's at the sacrifice of our exuberant energy, which then fuels the system that teaches us how to learn and grow. And then one could say, well, then, you know, I'd like my money back on my investment due to the methodologies, right? Like being able to vote for how your taxes get spent, right? You know, I want another teacher. I'm not a fan of how this dude is going about his job, right? So do you think that that's sort of a trade-off here that, at a scale we're just completely unaware of and maybe even not meant to pay attention to? Do you think like we ask too many damn questions and we're just kind of missing waterfalls and butterflies and simple shit?
No, but I do think that every experience is a teaching tool, and we may not get it. Like for me, you know, I spent, 40 years not getting it, making mistakes and problems and, you know, just stepping in the shit one time after another and health issues and you name it. It was not fun. And I was completely confused, but I bought into the mainstream reality. Like, you know, we're sort of taught that there's one reality, that we all share the same reality, you know, and it's very fact-based. No, bullshit, not even close. And so until we feel enough discomfort to make a shift in a direction where we start to experiment with our personal reality, then we start finding all these magical things. And it usually starts off with a lot of synchronicities and, you know, cool stuff happening. But you got to be alert to it, right? And you have to believe that something else is possible. Otherwise, you're stuck in the matrix. And I still think you learn, and I don't think there's a lot of mistakes. I look back at my life, I've had some shitty, shitty stuff happen. And yet, if it hadn't happened the way it went down, I wouldn't have evolved the way I've evolved. I wouldn't be me here today doing what I do and having really a good time. So, you know, sometimes when I watch, you know, the news, and especially I'm in Canada and the politics here are really funky, I'll tell you. If I start buying into it, I can tell by the way my body feels, right? And then I go, nope, I've had enough of that crap, shutting it off. Excuse me, I'm shutting it off. I'm not going to buy into that crap. I'd rather, let me see, what can I create? What can I do that's amazing in my own realm, you know? And I do believe that there are realities within realities. So you can have an amazing reality within a shitty reality. So your neighbor might be having a really shitty time. You feel for them. You know, you wish you could help, but they got to break out of it of their own accord, you know, and that's their life lessons. And I got to, you know, I've got grown children. There's lots of advice I'd like to give them. But the reality is it's their choices, their life. I'm here to do my best, support them. If they fall, make mistakes, end up with the repercussions, I'm here to support them as they lift themselves back out again. I'm not here to make them feel bad because they made a mistake. God, I've made so many mistakes, Brandon. You wouldn't believe it. I'm so good at making mistakes. But boy, I've sure learned a lot too. So, you know, bring it on.
It makes you sort of then revisit the idea of a school, which I'm not on board with. It just kind of, we're just having fun with this and I enjoy talking to you. So let's keep in this perspective. So with the idea of it being a school, then this is sort of like a, hey, you're a seed planted to grow. And this is just that, maybe first damn stage of our development. We're really in training to be gods here. You know, this idea of gods in training is fascinating because at a few different levels, it's silly as well. If you want to take it to the, well, you're everything, and then why would you need to know what it's like to be you kind of a thing? Maybe you sort of tumble back through a simulation in how a god would go to become a god. And maybe you do walk through these levels and you figure out these energetic dynamics and you figure out how to be a, you know, just a real connoisseur and a composer of energy, really. And you figure out the symphony of this place. And maybe this is sort of an evolutionary process. And this level of the game is really fucking rough, dude, you know, and it's not for everybody. And the next level is even harder. And so it needs you to fucking get your shit together. Or maybe the next level is super dope and full of reward, more so than what we're experiencing here. And the fact of, again, limitation shedding, but without limitations, then you're unbound in a way that I've explained in audio and video production. You do your own audio and video production and stuff like that for your show. So
I'm a one woman show for everything.
Exactly. And one of the things that you learn very quickly is that you can do anything you want. And that's the best news, is you can do anything you want. Now, the worst news is you can do anything you want, meaning that you have no structure, formula, foundation. You can search through all the little parameters. You can spend a lifetime going through just filters alone and never get anywhere. And so a framework is kind of necessary to navigate through with challenges. And I get this. And as we're laughing about it, we can see our guides or whatever, if I've even got them, they're silent. But if I've got them, they're laughing their asses off at us right now, right? Because we're sort of on to something here with the thought of if we again stick in this perspective that, yeah, it's just you sort of figuring this shit out at a level. Now, again, you and I can operate on a level to where we can see it, we can be it, and we can feel it in our hearts. So, but how do you reconcile all the kind of shit that you see around you and the catastrophe and the, like, let's say people around you that are making challenging decisions with their bodies and health right now that you can see from your perspective, being challenges for them in the future, and then maybe even encountering that and holding off the I told you so's and think, how do you navigate all that?
Well, I got that download, which I used to produce the 9 steps to quantum health transformation. It covers everything. It covers the first 3 steps are how to open your mind. The middle 3 steps are on detoxification. And the last 3 steps are for spiritual evolution. You pretty well have to do them in that order. But I've had to learn to mind my own business, Brandon, because there's some really disturbing shit going on in this world. Like one thing that was really hard for me was when I found out about the children being trafficked. It just broke my heart. And I went, well, obviously, there's no such thing as guardian angels. That's bullshit, because if there was guardian angels, this shit wouldn't be happening to these kids, right? So I don't have the answer to everything. All I know is that if I dwell on the ugly stuff too much, it hurts me and impedes my ability to add something vibrant to this world to help bring about change. So I believe that I have to become the change that I want to see in the world and not just be bullshit and what do they call it? Virtue signaling and all that shit. No, it had to be the real deal, right? Otherwise it's I'm just blowing smoke out my ass. Pardon the expression. There are some things that I don't know. I do believe that some of us, and me included, did choose to come back in this time. I think we've lived before and we've come back because we have important work to do. And the people that I've met who feel similar, all of us agree, holy shit, we didn't know it was going to be this hard. We didn't know it was going to be this awful, but we signed up and we're going to do it. But as far as all the ugliness that's going on in the world, you know, I don't pretend it doesn't exist, but I do everything I can do to make my life better, make the world better from my perspective. And I have to do a lot of minding my own business. It's not that I don't care. It's that I can't be destroyed in the process because I got work to do. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. Yeah. And being focused on mission is very important. And then that's sort of my next question. Do you feel that you can trust implicitly the messages that your angelic beings and guides have given you? What makes you...
Absolutely.
You're nodding. I apologize. For the audio-only audience, she was nodding. I was going to then ask, what makes you feel so absolutely certain about it?
Well, let me just put it this way. I had sort of paranormal leanings throughout my life, but I always ran to church. Different churches, different religions, right? To find out what was going on. I was always told that's the work of the devil. That's demons. That's, you know, don't open yourself up for that crap. Keep your mind busy. Read your Bible, that kind of stuff. Well, I didn't do so good in that environment. And it wasn't until after I had my angelic experience. Interestingly, I had been a Jehovah's Witness for 17 years and had left. And I'd lost all my community. That's partly why I was in such a depressed state. And I'd lost everything, really. And my kids, their dad wanted a chance to raise them. And so I said, okay, because I wanted them to have a chance to get to know their dad. And then he kept them from seeing me. And it just so much bad stuff happened. It was devastating. But anyway, long story short, I had the angelic experience. And then I just started getting spontaneous knowings and lucid dreaming while I'm awake, not just the transdimensional stuff when I'm asleep. But I started having lucid dreams. I got shown all kinds of things. And everything I've been taught has helped me and has been in my best interest. Now, there's also what I call spiritual dry spells where I don't hear from them. And I wonder if there's anybody out there and if I've just imagined the whole thing. What's going on here? You know, and at first that was really difficult. But then I learned, because I got to learn how to do this shit on my own. I can't always be, you know, relying on the wisdom of my spiritual elders and my what I call my soul team. I got to learn to do this on my own. I got to stand up and say, do I believe this or do I not? Time to shit or get off the pot, Karen, you know? And it's evolved. Like when I was going through some really rough times with severe depression and stuff like that, they were much closer to me. And it's almost like the crazier I get, and I'm using the word quite loosely, but also quite literally, the more help and the more I perceive the support from unseen forces. And the better I'm doing with my health and being grounded and focused, the less I get, I hear from them. So it's very interesting, but I absolutely trust it 100% because it's done me nothing but good. And to be honest with you, I can look at the different systems in reality, and all they've done is disappoint me. The churches have disappointed me. The politics have disappointed me. Mental health has disappointed me. The so-called healthcare program, which is a disease management system, has done nothing but disappoint me. People who I thought were my friends and support have disappointed me. I don't mean to make it sound like I'm a bad luck case here, but I'm just saying. But then I found these other sources of inspiration that never disappoint me. And I'm just not going to argue with that. I'm just going to love it and use it and have it and do it. And that's it. And tell other people so they know it's possible. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, when you get a good thing, you want to share it, right?
Yeah. And yeah. And the other thing I want to say is I'm not an extraordinary person. I'm really flawed and ordinary in every way. I make tons of mistakes all the time. Being neurodivergent, I don't really fit into the social reality the way other people do. I don't understand sometimes what people mean. I don't perceive the things that they just know. I don't know that stuff, you know, and it's just how I am. But I'm pretty ordinary. Like, and if I can have these gifts, other people can have them too. There's nobody less or more deserving than myself.
What's interesting, you say that they visit you at your times where it was the most challenging, and then they're pretty quiet or absent whenever you've kind of got your shit together, for lack of a better term, right? And
yeah.
So do you feel, though, that let's talk about, and I know it's going to be challenging to speak for other people or just speculate on other people's cases here, but let's just to ask you a question about it, is why do you think it's so selective? Why do you think some folks get visited in their darkest hours by things that turn them back, and then some folks carry on and continue through with the don't turn back and just actually go through with it? Do you think that's available to everyone, or maybe they just said no, thank you?
I think it's tied into trauma. Those of us who have had a lot of trauma in our lives, we just don't have the energy for, you know, social roles and the masks that people wear, or even the bravery or the strength. We're humbled, we're broken, we know we're broken, and we're at a point where we're lowly of spirit to the point where we're open. And I think at that point, we get contact. I think if we're doing great, you know, we don't necessarily need the contact because we can motor through on our own. So I think it's the broken people and the people that are just really down and out and crying out, you know, if there's anything out there, I need, you know, I need your support. I need your love. I need to know there's something, because this can't be all there is. And I just know we could do better. And, you know, you develop a humility and a spirit that's much like a little child. You know, you become like a child and you're open. And I think that is probably the difference. And I don't know, it's kind of like you got to crack a few eggs to get an omelet.
Yeah. But then the question is, why does anything have to break to consume energy to survive at all? You know, why do we exist in that system? You know, that's where I'm at with it. It's that Richard Rose quote, I'm not interested in fixing flat tires. I'm more in the business of getting nails off the highway. You know?
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm just saying, the broken toys are the ones who notice things that those who are whole don't necessarily notice. It's like the story of the disc. There's this big shiny disc and it rolls so fast and it's so shiny and so bright. And it just rolls from place to place and adventure to adventure. And then one day it's rolling across some rocks and a big chunk gets broken off. And now it can only roll around once and then clunk awkwardly and roll around another roll and it clunk awkwardly. And then the disc feels like its life is over. It can't go fast and impress people and do all the things that it used to be able to do. It's completely demoralized and humiliated. But then later on, it notices things that it didn't notice before because it was moving too fast. It notices the flowers and it notices the frog out there smoking a joint and, you know, all the stuff that it never would notice otherwise. So I don't know. Is it meant to be? I don't know. But I do know there's no shortage of tender, loving mercy out there. And I'm grateful for it.
Well, I'm grateful for it, too. I see it in you. I am curious of your idea about what compliance is all about. So we've talked a little bit about authority here. So let's talk about those who are just like, yes, govern me harder, daddy. Let's talk about compliance, please.
Well, compliance is rewarded. So, you know, when you want to look at mainstream reality, who dictates mainstream reality? Well, the so-called elites. I don't look at them as elites. I look at them as being the parasite class. So it's always been the ruling class, the parasite class, that has dictated the social norms, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. You know, we saw a lot of that with Queen Victoria, where she made a lot of rules regarding how we should behave socially and all this other stuff. But it doesn't really benefit us. It just is a way of going along to get along. You know what I mean? But it's really a bunch of bullshit. And so our compliance is rewarded. So, you know, govern me harder, daddy, gets rewards. I mean, look at the politicians. I don't know what it's like. Well, I sort of know what it's like where you live, but in Canada, oh my God, it's hilarious, because these people think they're above us and they're so smart and they're so cool and they're such friggin' idiots. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for them. I you know, that's how I feel, not to judge, but I'm embarrassed for them. And they decided they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And they want us to stop using oil, gas, and they want us to, you know, have all this stuff, and they've decided they're not going to fix roads anymore because they don't want us driving and all this other stupid stuff. And it's just so stupid. But, you know, they really believe it and they have the power. And so what's always happened is the ruling class has had had a military presence or a policing force that if you don't do as you're told, you get clobbered. And just look on social media. If we speak the truth, our own truth, often we get canceled, our channels get taken down. You know, the farther you move away from compliance, the more you get clobbered, you know, you become a target. And so compliance means that you get the good job and you get to keep the job and you get the pension and, you know, you get these things. But I don't know, I don't think it's personally it's worth it. And so compliance is something that that people buy into, and a lot of people do. And, you know, I said to my guides, why are all these shitty things happening in the world? What's going on here? And they said, Karen, it's the only way to make people wake up. It's the only way. If this doesn't wake them up, they never will. Then they've made their choice. But, you know, people can wake up and learn to do different things differently. I also want to touch on cultural capital. So cultural capital is a term given to the symbols we have that show people that we're above the ordinary people. So for instance, people, you could win $1 million and never get invited to certain country clubs because you don't have cultural capital. Cultural capital is the language you use, the attitudes and social norms you buy into, the prestige items that you have. You know, all of those things are what they call cultural capital, and they signal to other people at different echelons or different levels or strata of society that, you know, that you belong there. And so if you're from the bottom, you'll never really belong. It's not even just about money. It can be about your political party. It can be about your class situation that you're born into or that you live in. And each level is constantly looking to the level above to try to squeeze a little higher, a little higher. And it's like a pyramid, right? Less and less people. They're all weeded out, weeded out, weeded out as you get towards the top. Meanwhile, the people at the top are friggin' insane. They're delusional. They're psychopathic. Who the hell wants to hang out with them? But it's an illusion. And people think, oh, if I have this, you know, I'll be happy. My soul will be content, you know, and everyone's reaching up to the level higher. And yet the whole thing is an illusion and it's all bullshit.
So how do you think we usurp this? Do you think that the top of the pyramid's ever going to topple over? Do you think that maybe this was what the split is about, is sort of the awakening that the guides talked about? And it's also fascinating, if you'd like to comment on the fact that they told you that this is what needs to happen for humanity, meaning that they have some sort of hand in it and are steering perhaps the veracity or intensity of it, if you will.
Well, I don't think they're making it happen, but I do think that they're not rescuing us. Like, even my extraterrestrial friends, brothers and sisters, even though they have an intergalactic resettlement program, they're not going to come in here and evacuate us and take us off to a paradise world. We have the power to make this world a paradise right here. And so it's not in our best interest. It's like if you have a child and you do everything for them and you give them everything, they never learn how to do anything for themselves. They become spoiled and they have, you know, all kinds of developmental problems. They never get that amazing experience of trying and trying again and failing and trying again and then getting somewhere and the great feeling you get from success. So I think that it's more... I don't think they're making these horrible things happen. I think they're just not intervening and saving us the way a lot of us are wishing. You know, people are looking for, they want the Christ to come back and save them. They want their politicians to come in. And if you get the right political people in, they're going to come and save us. You know, everyone's looking for a savior. Well, the savior's within. And we got to learn to save ourselves. And I think on an energetic level, also on a practical level, that shifts everything. And we can make paradise happen here on Earth. And the other thing, too, is people don't realize as soon as we don't buy into the bullshit, it loses its power. And I think that might be partly why they're doing the depopulation agenda, because right now there's a lot of us. We got a lot of power. And as soon as we refuse to be afraid, even if it means losing our life, okay, well, I'd rather lose my life than live in the system that they want to give us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I want to die, but I'm just saying, you know, when we're no longer afraid to lose our life and we're no longer afraid to stand up and say, no, that's a bunch of bullshit. Then we're like the kid that says, look at the emperor. He's naked. He doesn't even have any clothes on. Ha, ha, ha. It's the best thing you can do. And they lose all their power. So they got to get rid of a lot of us in a hurry before that happens. But I think it's already happening. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent.
No apology. No apology. And I want to say to this, to your depopulation, do you want to hop in an emotionally mature bubble with me real quick and just have a conversation about this that doesn't make people feel icky? Okay, cool. Here we are in the bubble. We're in that bubble. Okay. One of the things I've been thinking about lately is this idea of NPCs, right? Non-playable characters and inhabitable vessels here, meaning meat suits that are walking around that can be inhabited by things that can be tuned in to radio stations or frequencies or Manchurian candidated to do whatever they want, right? And then with a global population being as high as it is, with as many followers as there is, as many meat suits running around that are tapped into by either lizard turds or some not so good entities, okay? Because we've heard about this, and this idea comes at a big scope, okay? Not only that we're vessels, but also that other entities are being in control of those vessels, like humans, but really they're at the top class, right? The politicians, the monarchs, things like this, your political leaders, your religious leaders, things like that. Now, on that scale, then, the people who follow them are really just their followers, but meat suits tuned in, or, yeah, maybe some susceptible-ass humans that are therefore a counterbalance for our awakening so that you and I or whoever's kind of looking around going, what the fuck's going on here, can say we got to see something because there was something to see, right? There was a noticeable shift. Now, in that, could it be possible, and this is my question, could it be possible that if we are the beings here that are meant to like play a game or that can create based off of the energy that we have here, it seems also, though, that brought into the conversation is usually that this needs to happen on a collective level, meaning that there needs to be a certain percentage of us, air quotes us, who get it and who shift the energy. But it does also seem that there's a massive stack of deck in the other direction that can be unargued from anyone. Now, yep. One could say that this is a swing of a pendulum for experiments or the simulation or whatever. But this is about that Sodom and Gomorrah, Days of Noah type shit where... it's fucking time to do something. You know what I mean? Instead of a flood, maybe. Perhaps there is this program that you sign up for. And if you sign up for this program, it's sort of an IQ test in the same bit that says you're either going to this world or going to go to this world, right? And again, rather than this flood or this thing that just wipes everything out here, the pyramids are cool. I wouldn't mind going and checking that shit out, you know? Sans turds. that maybe a global population depopulation agenda is to kind of take some pieces off the board, as it were, because also in conjunction with this idea was the hearings of that all the lizards were banished from this place, right? Like all these lizard turds were gone now, and that there were these big wars going on underground, and these greys and lizards had to leave, and so now we're lizard free. But if they were controlling vessels here, then those things would need to go also, right? They're, let's say that they were being remotely controlled, okay? And you had physical presence of lizards. I'm getting to a point here, I promise. Physical lizards presence, and then also sort of this remote control human lizard turd population that were really lizard turds in a video game somewhere driving your fucking local leader or whatever, right? So then they would need to also vacate as well. So then you'd also sort of have, I mean, I'm going to say entertainment and religious leaders and all kinds of things wrapped up into this, sports figures and all of that would be a part of this former agenda, having been controlled by either a parasite or whatever, having actually been not human to begin with, right? And then maybe that this is sort of a way to kind of clean the board as it was. What do you think of all that?
Well, I'm probably going to come across as an asshole, but I'm going to be honest with you.
We're in the bubble.
We're in a bubble. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been down all the rabbit holes and been on the whole emotional roller coaster and listened to the people that say, you know, the underground tunnels have been cleaned out, greys have been expelled from this, that, and the other. And to be honest with you, Brandon, I don't know nothing about any of that stuff. I don't know anything about it. I have no friggin' idea. I have no experience. I have my own experiences. I can take them to the bank. The rest, I don't know. In fact, there's so much lies and illusion out there. Sometimes I really think that things aren't even a quarter as bad as what it's being hyped up to be, because they need us to be in fear in order to be controlled. And again, it's the emperor is wearing no clothes. They got nothing. And because they're psychopaths, they not only don't have empathy, they don't have the creative abilities that we have. They don't have the amazing, innovative, novel ways of thinking that we have. There's so much that we have. So if I'm spending all my time trying to figure all that out, I'm just going to be a crazy person. And I've already tried figuring all that out. And then I've just washed my hands of it and said, screw it. I'm going to be the best damn Karen I can be. And you know, the other thing too, is I used to be afraid of death. And my guide said, well, what are your options? What can happen to you when you die? What's the worst that can happen? I thought, well, if there's nothing, there's no heaven and there's no God and there's no afterlife, I want to live a life where I go, I did my best. And I have a peace of mind that comes from that, that when I pass over, I can do so gently and elegantly. Or if there is a God or whatever, and he says, I didn't do good enough, I'm going to say, bullshit, I don't want to live in your world anyway, because I've done my best. And the truth is, any higher being is never going to hold it against us when we really have tried to do our best. And then I thought about reincarnation. I thought, do I want to come back here and do this shit over again? No way. No way. I want to learn my lessons and surpass my abilities. And it's funny, you know, I always think I can't do stuff that I can do. Like, I underestimate myself all the time. I'm always surprising myself. I'm going, oh my God, I did that. That's amazing. You know, it's like I'm a happy parent to myself sometimes. And so there's that too. And then there's another that I don't even know what happens for sure when you die. You know, I don't necessarily have those memories. But what I do know is right now, how do I treat my pets? How do I treat my grown children? It's a big job for me to work on being a patient, loving human being, but also to respect myself enough to stay away from assholes and people who don't have my best interests at heart. It's a big job. It's a big job to work on me and to eat right and to get enough sleep, you know, and to do the creative projects I want to do. And you know, that's all big enough. It's big enough. And so a lot of that, I have just pushed it outside of my realm of reality and gone, hell, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know within my realm of reality, I got power over this, that, and the next thing. I'm having these wonderful experiences. I want to inspire other people. I want them to know there's so much more. But, you know, I got to tell you, I got kids that are brutally honest. My daughter said to me one day, you know what, Mom? This is quite a few years ago. She says, you know what, Mom? She says, if you want to run around with your head up your own ass, that's okay. That's okay. But you know what? Don't expect me to have my head up your ass to keep you company. And I went, holy shit, you know, it was like getting a spanking from my kid. And then I thought about it and I thought, she's absolutely right. And if I love her, I'm not going to expect her to get her head up my ass. And furthermore, I'm going to get my head out of my own ass, you know, and I'm the one who can do it. I got the power. I could do that. And I work on that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't mean that those other things aren't going on. I don't know. But I do know that I need to be mistress of my own domain. And I got things I want to do. And I want to take really good care of the temple body because I got no more faith in the disease management system they got out there. And I got to make sure that, you know, I got the things that I need so I can be happy and productive and be a good granny to my grandchildren and to love my pets and be patient with them, even though they drive me nuts sometimes. You know, and it's enough. Brandon, it's enough. Sorry if I sound like an asshole, but.
No apologies. We're in the bubble. You know, you're good. This whole thing's a bubble, right? But by the way, but that was a sub bubble. So let's hop out of the bubble with our final thought here before our afterthought, which you're going to join me for. So if you guys want to stick around for the additional stuff that we do here after the episode wraps, check the link below and sign up for access to that. Super cool. And we have a lot to talk about. I still want to talk to you about your ET experiences and a lot more about this reality and how to be more fluid in it. And then a bigger question after that. So I want to know, just before we wrap here, your thoughts on how to sort of be fluid with this reality, how to play with this place in a hopeful way that can inspire somebody else. And leave us on a beautiful note, darling.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about a real experience that I had. And this always probably going to make me cry because it's pretty profound. And that is, I learned when I took some psychology courses that our memories are never factual. You know, we take a memory out, we embellish it, we add emotion to it, we think about it, we put it away, we bring it out again next time, and it's a little different. It's a little different. And we're always moving away from what actually factually happened. It may have been a bad experience or a good experience, but we tend to embellish that as human beings. So I thought, very interesting. I'm doing an experiment on myself. So I decided that I was going to do an experiment where I was going to create a memory that was complete bullshit. Going to make it up, just completely make it up. And when I was a kid, my mom basically didn't have much use for me. I'm not trying to go boohoo, I had a bad childhood. We all had challenges in our childhood, but she didn't have much time for me. And it always bothered me. So I decided I was going to create a memory that when I came home from school every day, my mom would make tea and we'd sit down and have a cup of tea and she'd listen to me and give me eye contact and want to hear about my day and be genuinely interested. And it made me feel so good. So I embellished it and I worked on it and I created it. I never told a living soul about it. This was mine and it made me happy. Even to the point where if I come home from school and I'd had a bad day, my mom would get out the good tea set, maybe have a couple special cookies, right? And it just made me feel so damn good. I loved my new corrupted memory. I was going to keep that damn thing and keep it close. Okay, so then 6 months later, I go to visit my mom. I never told anybody about this. I go to visit my mom and right out of the blue, she turns to me and she says, Karen, do you remember the tea parties we used to have after school? And I realized in that moment the great power we have. We can change the past. We can change the now by changing the past, which changes our future. And one of the great things about being an old lady is I can look at my life. I can course correct in the now, and I can ensure that every tomorrow is better.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.